Welcome to the V-Wave Podcast. This podcast is brought to you by River Runners for Wilderness and is created by a cast of river lovers who understand the river resource comes first. On the shoulders of a healthy river, do we recreate ourselves? What comes second is river access, a very thorny V-Wave, all in itself. The V-Wave discusses these things and river ecology, recent river trips, river history, river management, and new changes on rivers. Have a topic you'd like to hear more about or help discuss? Get in touch with me, your host, Tom Martin, at rrfw.org. That's T-O-M-M-A-R-T-I-N at rrfw.org. Special thanks to Char and Trev, who came up with this idea. Today's podcast is with Janine Millam that we are visiting here in Flagstaff, Arizona, and Janine's going to go on a river trip shortly. And Janine, can you tell us about who the permit holder is on your trip?
Oh, sure. Yeah. So my brother, who lives here in town as well, he's never gotten to do a river trip or anything like it and didn't really know much about it. But when several of us were putting in for the lottery, I talked him into it and he said, well, I'm not sure how to organize anything like that. And I told him, you know, we've got people that do. And so if you just get drawn, then we can go and I'll organize everything for you. So he's got the permit and he's been doing a lot with like making sure the permit application is ready. We've been working on that together and getting prepared and discussing a lot of things like itinerary and who's coming on the trip, who to invite. But overall, the majority of the organization has been all me.
Cool.
With lots of input from the other people that are going, thank God.
Great. When does your trip launch?
September 4th.
Okay. Nice. It's a nice time of year. Still going to be hot, but September 4th. Mm-hmm. And then how many people on the trip?
16.
Okay. How many days?
18.
Okay.
And we're going to have 4 hike in at Phantom and 4 hike out.
Okay. 4 in and 4 out at Phantom. And then are you going all the way to Pierce Ferry or are you going to stop at Diamond?
We're planning on stopping at Diamond. We'd rather get the extra few days in the canyon, getting to explore some of the side stuff.
Cool. Okay.
So as long as the road's not washed out.
Yeah. Well, if it is, we'll do. It's great because then you get to go all the way.
Yeah. So either way works.
Yeah. Good. So this podcast, today's podcast, is talking about being a permit holder. And in this case, your brother's the permit holder, but he's kind of delegating it all to you.
Yeah.
So I'm going to assume for purposes of this podcast, you're the permit holder. And okay. And because the permit holder is the responsible party. And I always think of the permit holder as the voice of reason. Permit holder doesn't have to worry about logistics of the day and but needs to be paying attention to the trip. And needs to be addressing issues as they arrive, being aware of those issues, and kind of the president, if you will. The president has the cabinet,
and
the cabinet has all these expert people that are going to run all these departments, right? The president doesn't do all that stuff. The president's kind of watching, overseeing, and is kind of at a different level of watching. It's not like I'm above you or anything like that, but just understanding it roughly. How things work. You don't have to understand everything about everything.
Okay.
So let's start with your questions as a permit holder. What would that be?
Okay. Well, some of the things that have been an ongoing conversation with other people that are on the trip is what's a good group makeup? Like how many? I know that the Grand Canyon only requires one qualified boatman to go, but we don't feel like that's enough. We want several people who know what they're doing. So we've got 5 people who've all got lots and lots of good experience. And then 4 of us that are going to be rowing 2 boats between the 4 of us that are all about to do a rowing clinic up in Oregon so that we can have some idea what we're doing too.
Cool.
And then we can just kind of follow and learn from the experienced people on the trip. one of whom used to be a guide down there. So we're super stoked about the level of experience that's coming along with us.
Excellent.
But what would you recommend? Is, I know I've heard of people going with, 16 people and one person has done it before and they come out okay. But what do you feel like is a safe number to have for experienced versus newbies?
I it's a good question. What is appropriate? I always think about desire. Mm-hmm. I want to row a boat through the Grand Canyon, and I'm willing to climb back in that boat once we've all struggled to turn it right side up.
Yeah.
I want to get back in and keep going. I have the desire. If I have a ton of river experience, but I'm really not a nice person to hang out with, I don't want that experience. I want that person with desire.
Okay.
That's thirsty for the trip, that wants to make friends, that wants to be a hard worker, that wants to learn. Because I just don't see the Grand Canyon as being this place where you have to have a super amount of experience. And that's based on the historic record.
Okay.
Looking at the people who have had zero skill and gotten in a boat at Lee's Ferry and gotten out of the boat at Diamond Creek or Pierce Ferry at the end of a canyon run and never rode before, but didn't flip and had a good time. Now, maybe they cut their thumbs between the oars and smashed their thumb. Maybe they got cracks in their fingers and they
got
stumbled
stuck
a couple
in a few
times.
Eddies.
Got thrown out of the boat a couple times, went swimming a little bit. You know, you learn. You go by learning. So your question about how much experience I need.
Yeah, to be safe.
Is really good. You've got a ton of people on your trip with experience.
Yeah.
Okay. You mentioned, five of them right there. I'm assuming maybe you're going to bring 5, 6, or 7 boats. You know, that's awesome. And what would be really cool is if the 5 people with experience decided they weren't going to row. And 5 other people who wanted to row, rowed, and the experienced people were whisperers and sat in the boat and told them, camp's right around the corner here. Or you need to push a little harder with your left oar. That's this hand over here, not that one over there. Are they willing to teach? So when I look at, okay, we've got these experienced people. That's good. Are they teachers?
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah. So that's a real hard question. I don't think there's a rule. You got to have X number of people.
Okay. So your feeling is more, it's about the team dynamics and helping each other out is far more important. Okay.
Very
I like
much
that.
So. Yeah. Very much so. Yeah. I here's a little saying, Janine, I want to go to hell. I want to go to hell with heavenly people because our chances of having a good time there are better than going to heaven with hellish people. And that's how I want you to think about Grand Canyon River Trip, right? I've got all this experience and you need me on your river trip. I'm like, really? I'm not so sure.
Well, I listened to your other podcast about someone who was leading a trip and they had to vote someone off the island and they ended up hiking out at Bright Angel. And that just sounded terrible, having the wrong person on there.
Yeah.
Who's claiming that they have all kinds of experience, but turns out it was just terrible for the team, terrible for safety, terrible for everything.
That
makes a lot of sense.
That's right.
I'd rather have all the hellish or the heavenly people.
Exactly. On a trip that has difficulties, this isn't an easy trip because mm-hmm. most of us aren't used to taking weeks at a time camping out and using boats as our mode of travel. And there's really no way to go home.
Yeah.
And if you really like the team of people you're with, that's awesome. It will be a powerful trip.
Oh, I'm so excited. I'm so excited.
What else you got?
Okay. Well, kind of on the same vein. So we're rowing 7 boats right now with 5 very experienced people and then a couple boats for those of us that are doing the rowing clinic to kind of trade off. Mm-hmm. But I don't actually have much concept of how much space that is. How is that enough for 20 people essentially? Is that and how much gear can everybody bring? Are we going to have tons of space or are we going to be strapping things to our heads?
Yeah. What size are these seven boats?
So four of them are, we're getting the 18-foot rafts from them. And then three of the experienced boatmen are bringing their own personal boats, mm-hmm. which I think are anywhere from 14 to 16 feet, okay. somewhere in there.
Great. And this is an 18-day trip.
Yeah.
Okay. And you've got four in and four out.
Yeah, so okay. total 20 people.
Right. And you're going to want to get those four in, four out people's gear.
Yeah.
On the trip, at the start of the trip at Lee's Ferry, so the people hiking in don't have to carry in a burdensome load.
And we don't want the people carrying hiking out 9 miles to have to carry.
And the neat thing about either. That is, if there's a flip, mm-hmm. or someone's tent blows apart, or someone's sleeping bag gets wet, right? And yeah. say a boat flip and their gear gets wet. You will have others' gear to borrow.
Oh, I never thought of that. I know that we're doing a lot of gear sharing as far as like cots and Paco pads, but not
that's
sleeping
fine.
Bags
yeah,
and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, that's fine. But just remember, so I always like that when people are coming in and going out, mm-hmm. that I want their gear at the start of the trip. We'll get it back to them at the end of the trip and know that we have extra. Should we need it?
Yeah.
And typically we don't.
In bad weather, you can have an extra sleeping bag to get warm.
If someone's cold or something's happened, you know, their fleece got wet or something, the rain, something's happened, you have a little extra help.
A buffer. Yeah,
yeah. A little extra buffer.
That's awesome.
So 18 days, you've got seven coolers, okay?
Okay.
And that's, seven boats is more than ample
okay.
for carrying the gear that you'll need. This isn't a 30-day winter trip.
Right, yeah.
It's an 18-day summer trip. So you're not going to be wanting to bring a lot of warm stuff, but one set of warm stuff.
Okay.
Thinking that in early September, September, it's going to be really lovely, and you're not going to need that much protective clothing to stay warm.
Yeah, but if we get one bad day or something, then we'll be protected.
You need to be
prepared.
Prepared for that. You need, good rain gear or dry suit. People, using dry suits now. I'm of the rain gear, decades back in the old school. But, I have a dry suit. They're hard to get into, some of them. Some of them are pretty easy to get into. They're good to have. And on many days, you just don't need them.
Okay.
Not that you need to be in this thing every day cooking in the sunshine.
Oh, God, yeah.
You just don't go there, but you need a good life jacket. So you're good for gear.
So plenty of space. Everyone can bring a big...
Now, that said, if it's a drinking trip, I have been amazed by the amount of alcohol people can bring on river trips. I mean, it's just like pallets. And that takes up a lot of space at Lee's Ferry. So I'm like, well, I want to get a handle on that beforehand. Is this a drinking trip? As the trip leader, as the permit holder, mm-hmm. okay, I want to know this for simple planning. Do I have the room in the boats?
Okay.
Right? So without being on is this a booze cruise we're talking about?
It is not. Okay. I think a third to a half of the people going don't drink at all.
Great.
For whatever reasons. Mm-hmm. And some of us just want a beer here too, or beer or two here or there, a little toast after we survive Lava Falls.
Exactly.
But no, I made it extremely clear before anyone was invited. We're not waiting for you to sleep off your hangover. We're getting up, we're getting off the beach, and we're exploring the canyon. We're not down there to party all night. And if you want to drink all night, that's perfectly fine, but nobody's waiting for you.
We'll scoop you up
in
the morning.
We'll dump you in the river.
Yeah. This is super important for the permit holder to identify the type of trip they want ahead of time. It's about expectations. Is this a hiking trip? Is this a party trip? Is this, there's any number of types of trips that the permit holder wants to do.
Yeah.
And they need to be sure they don't get hijacked by a trip member that wants to do something else.
Okay.
And that's simply talking to people ahead of time. You may get hijacked at Lee's Ferry at the first night camp. You realize, oh, they didn't tell us they were going to do this. Okay. And then the group's going to deal with it.
And then make decisions going from there.
Absolutely.
That makes sense.
But having that set up ahead of time, so you're not going to have a giant pile of alcohol. To
not planning on it. We'll have a few or some, bring an iced tea.
But you're going to have what you want for cold drinks, maybe soft drinks or juices or that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
No, don't forget to bring that stuff, but you want to have piles of that. So that's good, because that's something that can take up a lot of space on boats. You've got some extra gear coming in. Typically, in the winter, we will do two of the large backpack-type bilge bags.
Okay.
But this isn't a winter trip. This is a summer trip.
Yeah.
Okay. So you get one.
Okay. So you're talking like the 110-liter dry bag type size.
Yeah.
And then...
Yeah. And then your follow-on question should be, well, does my tent go in there?
That is my follow-on question.
And my follow-on answer is no. You have another one of those 120-quart bags, which is a tent bag, which might hold, you know, one, two, three, or four, five tents. And you got two or three or four of those.
Oh, okay.
Okay? To hold your tents.
So not for individuals, but for the group. Like, here's everybody's tents go in this bag.
Yes, exactly.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
So because otherwise you're going to, well, it's not going to fit in there, so I need another bag.
Okay.
And everybody needs another bag, right? Now I got 40 bags, but if everybody has a bag, and that's 20 bags, plus another four for their tents.
Then we're cutting way back.
We're cutting way back.
Okay. Yeah.
What about sleeping pads? What I try to do with 20 on seven boats, mm-hmm. okay, is right away I can gobble up 14 of those. One goes on the cooler to protect the cooler from the sun during the day. The other goes on the front deck.
Okay.
For the passengers to sit on. Now, maybe the company you're renting from will provide you with a cooler cover. I typically will tell the rental company, leave your cooler covers at home.
Okay.
Because we are going to have our own Paco pads. We're going to have our own sleeping pads to cover the coolers.
Okay.
And you're going to want to check these suggestions. I see you taking notes here. Check this with your team, because you've got a pretty experienced team here.
We do, a lot of them. And then there's a whole lot of newbies that have never done anything like this, too. Right. It's going to be a fun mix.
But the experienced people that are running the rafts, I'm going to make suggestions. You're going to check that with that team.
Oh, for sure.
Because if they don't know, no, we want their cooler covers because blah, blah. Well, then you get their cooler covers. The less rental gear I can bring, the less rental gear I am responsible for if I lose it or I break it.
Okay.
And typically if I break rental stuff, I have to buy new to replace that.
Yeah.
Unless I can go find similar in kind, which I do.
Sure.
To take back to them, oh, I broke this, or here's another one.
Here's your replacement.
Here's your replacement. Okay. It's used just like the junk you rented me. You know?
So. And they go for that?
Yeah.
Nice. All right.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. What else? Do we cover that? So space, you were asking about
space. Yeah, space. I think so. And then just kind of thinking about how to set up for successful group dynamics and prepare people that have never done this before. So people that, like all the experienced people or people who've gone on a trip, they understand how to set up a groover, how to set up a kitchen. But I don't even know where to begin with explaining some of this stuff to people who've never done anything like this.
Right. This is a really good question. You've got experienced people and inexperienced people. There are two things that I'll try to do uh-huh. on a trip. One is I'll set up teams, four teams for 16 people.
Okay.
So it's four people in a team. One of those people on the team is going to be the team captain, and they're going to be the experienced person. And you've got five people right away with that experience, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, that's 1, 2, 3, 4 right away are leaders of the team. Okay, and there's four different teams.
Okay.
So the inexperienced people on the cook team, the team leader will say, all right, we need the tables up here. We need the stove. You know, we need to go shopping. We got buckets. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to go down. We're going to go to the boats, and we're going to shop and make sure we got our food here. We're going to do our cooking, and this is how that's going to work. And,
okay. You
know, anybody on the team know how to cook? Right?
Who knows how to chop? Who can boil water?
Exactly. So then, you know, are you going to break it down in these four teams? There's going to be a bathroom team. There's going to be a dishwashing team. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a cooking team. And one of the teams is off.
Okay.
You're not doing nothing. Maybe they're going to help a little bit. Look around. If they're smart, they'll want to help. So that's
smash cans and clean up.
Or, you know, set up the chairs in a circle. Or see who's struggling on the trip and help them. You know, this old guy like me stumbling across the beach. Can I carry your bag for you? Where do you want to camp? I'm going to set your tent up, you know. Can you just, can the team help make sure that the team is doing all right?
Okay.
And this way, the people that have no experience have a leader on their team. As far as teams as well, I want to mention that because that's something I had written down. People who share tents, and this could be couples, this could be friends who are just sharing a tent, don't put them on the same team.
Okay.
So that one of them can get to work in the cook crew while the other one sets up the tent. Or in the morning when the dish team is packing things up, their partner or their tent mate can be taking the tent down and packing up their camp stuff.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good...
So that's one way for the inexperienced people to hang out with experienced people. Another way of doing that is in the evening at dinner time. That's when it's a good idea because everybody's going to be hungry and people typically don't miss meals at dinner and everybody's there. And as soon as you sit down, this is tough for the permit holder or the trip leader, whoever's going to do this, mm-hmm. say, wow, here we are. We survived another day in the Grand Canyon. And this is what we're thinking about doing tomorrow.
Oh, like a daily check-in and a plan for the next day.
You and I have talked about this ahead of time. You had posted on the Facebook group Rafting Grand Canyon about this very questions about what we're doing now. And a lot of people had posted a lot of really good stuff about that. And one person had posted, have a fall guy, or drama queen, or the goof up of the trip. Define that person, have them have a very thick skin. And when anything goes wrong, blame them.
I love that advice. I think it's so great.
And so you don't have to, in the group meeting, you don't have to say, hey, Tom, you moron, you forgot the unit, the bathroom, and it's back at the last camp, you idiot.
Ooh, right? Yeah.
You can simply say, hey, drama queen, you left the unit at the bathroom at the last camp. Now we're going to have to deal with that. And here's how that's going to work out, blah, blah, blah. We're going to empty out a box and we're going to make a seat, then blah, blah. That's how we're going to handle this. At that team meeting at dinner, talk about what happened today, what worked, what didn't work. Talk about tomorrow.
Okay.
And be brief. Because you'll lose people. They'll go back for seconds and they're so you have to kind of go through that fairly quickly.
Okay.
And if there's stuff that needs to be hashed out in more details, there will be a group of people to hash that out. But then other people who aren't interested, that's it, can walk off and sit by the river or write in their journal or, you know, just hang out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Spend time with nature.
But those are two things that come to mind where the newbies can kind of have an idea of what's going on.
Okay.
And you know, you can ask the people with most experience to not talk over the group's head, to make sure that the group understands what they're talking about.
Okay. Keep the lingo simple
and understood, and if anybody has any questions, ask.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Because this is all about making more knowledgeable people.
Yeah.
So yeah, does that answer that then?
That does. That's awesome.
How to combine the people with experience and the people without experience.
Yeah, and then just make preparing everybody, and that's perfect.
Every day. It's a daily briefing. What do we do today? What are we going to do tomorrow? It happens at dinner.
I like it.
What else you got?
Okay. So working on a tentative itinerary, I know that the Grand Canyon doesn't like to let people keep their plans. So if you're, you know, the weather likes to interfere or the river or other trips. So how do you kind of build a tentative itinerary? Do you have, because I was getting started on that and I was thinking, okay, so day one, we aim for one of these three campsites in this 4 mile stretch and hope for the best, or what kind of, how do you usually plan a trip like that? How many layover days do you have?
Exactly. This is a super good question. The itinerary, the Park Service demands it. It's part of your permit. Give us your itinerary. Okay. So if you know nothing about itineraries, there's a website online They're called, if you search Rafting Grand Canyon Wiki,
okay,
W-I-K-I, you will find the Rafting Grand Canyon Wikipedia site. It's not a Wikipedia. It uses that Wikipedia format, the same coding. And it has itineraries in there for 18-day or 21-day or 25-day trips, 30-day trips. And you just cut and paste. Now, that's good for the Park Service. Because they don't care. They want something. And what they're trying to do is get the permit holder to understand how important this is. And if the permit holder says, I quit, then they're fine. The Park Service is fine with that. The Park Service does nothing to help permit holders with this stuff.
Okay.
Right? So I'm like, all right, let's give the Park Service what they want. But what does my team want? And I'll typically put it out to the team. Hey, anybody have a hike they want to do, or a camp they want to camp at, or something somewhere that they want to do on this river trip?
Okay.
Get that list. And then start trying to put in a simple itinerary, 18 days, 226 miles. Work out the math. Okay?
Yeah.
Is that 10 miles a day? Well, let's see, 18 days, that's going to be 170 miles. Don't quite get there at 10 miles.
Well, you're thinking about 15 miles a day if we have like 3 day layover days, but then we've also got, you know, we want to camp as close as we can to Havasupai and spend that whole day at Havasupai. So we're not getting many miles that day.
Right.
So we need shorter days and longer days.
You're camping right above Havasu Canyon, and you're camping at the first available camp below.
Yeah.
That's
what we're hoping for.
Exactly. Of course, all the other trips are going to be hoping for the same thing.
Yeah.
Okay. And so this is where your plans can go south.
Okay.
So simply run that math, 15 miles a day. What camps are at 15 miles a day? Okay. And this is... The itinerary is written on the water surface with a finger. It's what you hope for, but it may not happen.
Yeah.
And that depends on, as you say, other trips around you. So in order to make my itinerary work, I want to make friends with the other trips around me right away.
Okay.
I want to let them know that, what can we do for you? What is your itinerary must-haves, right?
Mm-hmm.
And are you okay if we camp together? So I'm when I first go walking over to talk to the, I want to find the permit holder, maybe with the qualified boat, you know, trip leader, get them together. Are they friendly? Are they like, go away? Okay, no communication there? Fine. Then we can't work together.
Yeah, and we're not sharing a camp. We're not going
to. We're not sharing a camp. I'm not going to try to give them a camp if they're going to try to give me a camp. Right?
Yeah.
This is the kind of together collegiality that I'm looking for. Okay? The commercial river trips that are launching, and you guys are launching in the motor season.
Yeah.
Okay? The motorboats are going to go past you, and they're not even going to talk to you. They might be friendly, but they're on a schedule, and they typically schedule their camps out of the flow of the rafts, the rafter camps. You're thinking about going 15 miles a day. They're thinking about going 40 miles a day.
Yeah, okay.
Okay? So I'm not even going to ask them where you camp in the night. And I'm hoping at the end of the day, it's been a long day, and I'm getting to that camp, and I'm still a half mile away, that I don't hear a behind me, because they're not going to stop, and they're not going to top, and they're going to
steal it.
Yeah. That happens. It doesn't happen all the time. But these are the sorts of things that make your itinerary change.
Okay.
And if you have to go a little further, or you have to stop a little short, that's going to impact where you go. And then you've got some layover days, which I think are critically important, to have a day off, to go nowhere and do nothing. The smart people stay in camp. Okay? Not being very smart, I might be out somewhere, you know.
Hiking around.
trying to hike as far as I can. And I don't worry about the hikers until they don't show up for breakfast. Because I'm not going to go out and look for them in the dark.
Okay.
I'll save them dinner if they don't show up. I want all the hikers going far to have a headlight. Maybe a map, maybe not. I want to know what they're doing.
Hopefully an in-reach or some way to call for emergency. An in-reach
is awesome. If they don't have one, okay, they don't have one. I'm not going to start looking for them until they didn't show up.
Oof. Have you had that happen?
For breakfast. Yes.
Did it turn out okay?
Yes.
Everybody made it back.
I'll tell you that story. So we're on a long 30-day winter trip. We're going to do some backpacking away from the river. So we're going to have a 3-day layover.
Where?
We're going to do this at Basalt.
Okay.
Okay. And we want to hike Juno, Jupiter, Venus, and Apollo, the four temples. They're all in a line there. So we're going to backpack up there, and then we're going to do this four temples, and then we're going to come back.
Oh, wow.
So this is our plan. Three of us take off, and it's late in the day. I mean, it's like almost dark, and we hear our footsteps, and it's our permit holder. And we're like, "Hi, Doug, how are you?" And Doug says, "Great." I was like, "Doug, what are you doing here?" He's like, "Well, I figured I'd come up and join you guys and camp with you guys tonight."
Oh.
I said, "Great. Did you let everybody out of the camp?" "No." He said, "No." Okay. So the next morning, I'm like, "Doug, you got to get back there." So he goes back to camp, and he walks all the way back down to camp. We're up doing our hiking, whatever it is, climbing around. And there's no one in camp.
Everybody left.
Because they're all out looking for him.
Oh, my God.
And he has walked right through their search group, right? And so he turns around and starts going out to find people, and eventually he finds one person, and then they find two more, and then six more, and then pretty soon the team all...
Oh, that'd be so frustrating.
Yeah. So it can happen.
Yeah.
Okay. But we've done a lot of trips where people want to go far. They want to go really phenomenally far. They're young. They're strong. Probably stupid.
Excited.
Well, excited. Don't do this. And off they go. And they come back at 10 or 11 at night. Well, you can see their headlights way, you know. All right. That's fine.
All right. So hard, fast rule that nobody goes anywhere without letting someone know.
Absolutely. I try to do my layover days at places that people don't want to stop at because they want to go to someplace better. So I try not to do a layover at Bass Camp. I'll lay over at Hotaura upstream on River Wright, right? We can still do all the hikes. We can still walk around, right?
So I'm not familiar with either of those camps. Right. So
Bass is a very popular, it's below the Gems. It's below Crystal and Granite Hermit, all those big rapids. And it's kind of where the trip kind of can go, all right, we've gotten through the big rapids in the upper Granite Gorge, and we're chilling out. This camp typically has a river trip in it 365 nights of the year.
Okay.
It's very popular. And if you want to camp there, you can stop at Hotaura and walk down and see if there's somebody down there. And if there's not, you can holler back, or maybe with a little two-way radio, or the InReach, right, back to the group saying, "Hey, there's nobody down here. Come on down."
Okay.
Okay. But again, that's just a simple example of where I'm going to do a layover in a pretty cool spot where there's a lot of hiking to do. And there's the Shinumu Creek is there with water in it, right? So that's a lovely place to go play for the day. There's just a lot of things to do there. Because we know that's such a popular camp in September, I'm going to camp someplace else.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So those type of things, you look at your layover schedule. So you're going to go back to your team and you're going to ask your team, "Hey, who wants to do what?" Okay. And you may find people say, "You know what? I've been to Havasu a gazillion times from your five, your group of five, been there. I want to go someplace else that I haven't seen before." Maybe they want to go to Tucka. Okay. Maybe they want to go, I don't know, to Jack's Canyon or Slimy Tick Canyon or Canyon of a Thousand Names, that canyon upstream. You know, they want to do something else. That's pretty cool. And the people who haven't seen the canyon before but have been told, "You got to see XYZ," they need to understand that they won't know the difference. If they don't see XYZ, they don't see Havasu, or they don't see Elves Chasm, or they don't see the Little Colorado River Confluence, and they see something different, that's going to be equally cool.
Just as amazing.
Different. It's just different. Yeah. So that puts some fresh spark into your people who've been there before.
Okay. I also can't imagine ever getting tired of Havasu. But wanting to see new things makes perfect sense.
And I speak with that because we are winter boaters. We're 30-day winter boaters.
Oh,
and it's cold in there. Cold,
yeah, that dark, makes sense.
There's not a lot of sun there. You don't want to splash around in the water. You will in September. You want to get in Havasu. Yeah. That's something you definitely want to do. But in winter, we don't.
Okay.
And so people are like, we rode past Havasu. And I'm like, yeah, that's right. Because we're rowing to beat the band through that entire Muav Gorge section. 3 days, we're going as fast as we can just to get through that section because there's no sun and it's cold in the middle of the winter.
Okay.
It's different in September. Totally different. So your itinerary depends on the time of year and it depends on who wants to do what and all the other trips around you. If you're agreeable to have other trips move in on you, are they agreeable for you to move in on them? And that can help you stay on your itinerary and move along.
Yeah, and get the camps that we want and make new friends.
Exactly. And are they a bunch of drinkers or are they up early and going? You ask them right away, hey, you know, are you a party trip or are you, you know, hiking trip? What are you guys doing?
Can we be blasting music all night or can we sleep?
Exactly. And that's another huge, music is another huge, huge issue. I mean, I really want people to bring their own music. And if I hear it, I'll throw it in the river.
Bring your own music with your own earbuds.
Exactly. Exactly. And zone out. Don't try not to do it on the water because if we need to talk, we need to communicate, and mm-hmm. you're listening to your earbuds, then you're not in. You're not with the team. Okay. But on your own time. Yeah, absolutely. That's important. It's important for people.
Yeah.
So again, that's the itinerary. The itinerary can go wrong when a boat misses camp.
Okay. And that usually happens because they don't realize it's there, because they get swept into a rapid.
Exactly.
They're
just not paying attention.
Okay.
Right. And so this is a part of signals. You know, are you watching? Is the group moving along together? And are they communicating with hand signals? Hey, we're eddying out over there.
Okay.
Okay. So there's a pointing hand and there's a revolving finger in the air. Right?
Yeah.
As an eddy, we're eddying out over there. And does that go up the line? And everybody knows, the newbies and the senior people, that, you know, your long-term members, hey, yeah, we're pulling in there for camp. Fine.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's kind of some of my thoughts on itineraries.
Okay. Yeah, I think all that sounds really great. I'm so excited. I'm trying to think what other questions that I might have. So I'm worried that I'm going to be, you were talking about the one drama queen that's pushy and annoying. I think it's going to be me because you know, I'm kind of leading it and I'm a nurse and I'm extremely pushy about sunblock and hand hygiene and safety, and no one's getting hurt on my watch. No one's going to get sun poisoning on my watch. I've had that before. It's horrible. I don't want to catch norovirus or anything else while we're down there. And have you had people like that before and it's okay? Or is it real annoying? Is there better ways to handle that kind of stuff?
I never look at it as annoying.
Okay.
Anybody who's looking at personal safety, personal hygiene, personal health care, because there's nothing worse than having your hands so cracked and so painful that you can't hike and climb and hang on to things because your hands are just excruciatingly painful.
And what do you recommend for that? I've seen people that bring gloves and they row in gloves, or they do Vaseline at night. These are the good things?
Absolutely. So I recommend simple contractor's gloves.
Okay.
They're fairly thin. We're not talking about welder's gloves that you can't hardly move, right?
Okay.
We're talking about kind of thin gloves. If you're using a hammer or you're around splintery wood or that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
They kind of cost $12 to $20 at Home Depot.
Okay.
I'm going to get 2 pair. Okay. And I'm going to wear those in the morning when we load the boats. I'm not rowing a boat.
Okay.
But I'm going to be carrying bags, and I'm going to be carrying tables, and I'm going to be carrying stoves and all kinds of junk, a unit, the bathroom, all that stuff. It has to go down to the boats in the morning. It has to come off the boats at night and go up to our kitchen and go off to the bathroom and go out to our tent sites, right? I want to be in gloves for that activity.
Okay.
For dealing with straps, for sand with bow lines, for tying the boats to shore, I want those gloves.
Okay, so not just the rowers. Everybody should be.
Absolutely.
For dishes.
Because, and for dishes, I want to get those long gauntlet type rubber gloves that are easy to get into and easy to get out of. Not the ones that are like super skin tight that I have to work really hard to, you know, they turn them inside out and they'll get wet on the inside. They're slimy and I don't want to wear them. Mm. But I want to protect my hands when I'm washing dishes from the Clorox, which is in the water.
And then just the getting wet and dry all day long is so hard on your skin too.
Exactly, exactly. Okay. So I want to protect my hands when there's rigging going on, when there's busy things happening, when there's dishes going on, okay? And at night, I want to lube up my hands. The last thing I do, the very last thing, I will lube up my hands and I will put on a pair of socks.
Okay.
And go to sleep.
So wrap your hands up in lubey socks.
So that the emollients on my hands stay on my hands.
Okay.
They don't get on the bedding, they get in my sleeping bag, whatever, if I'm just using a sheet, whatever. I want that stuff to stay there.
Okay? Awesome.
So I'm protecting in the day and I'm rehydrating at night.
So what other kind of stuff? I listened to your podcast too about Tolio, and you know, keeping them dry but with moisture. What other stuff am I not thinking of? Like, what other kind of hygiene things or what other kind of problems can come up that?
Right.
Because a lot of people wouldn't know that the hand thing. You know, that your hands are going to crack and dry down there.
Yeah.
So what other kind of stuff is there
to think about? So for Tolio, I want to make sure that during the day, I'm probably going to be wearing sandals.
Yeah.
Now, what I've discovered as an old man is I typically am wearing sandals less. I used to wear them all the time, right?
Okay.
Then if I'm thinking I'm going to go on a river trip, I'm going to wear these sandals. If I don't break my feet in wearing sandals before the trip, the sandals can dig into my feet with the sand and whatnot, they can become very painful to wear. So wear that footwear before the trip if you can.
Okay.
To harden your feet to the straps and where the straps are on your feet.
Okay.
As soon as you're in camp, get your tennis shoes.
Okay.
Dry socks and shoes. Get your tennis. And just keep changing your socks as you normally would, right? But protect your feet. And I'll do the emollient on my feet as well.
Okay.
Now, as a nurse, this opens up a whole nother concept because I want a doctor friend in town, in Flagstaff, that I can communicate to. Hopefully they're a friend of mine.
Yeah.
And they have prescription purposes. They can write prescriptions, and I'll talk about that. But they can also give me advice on the river. Hey, I've got somebody who's just ripped off their fingernail, rigging their boat, right? And they tell me that they are susceptible to infection. Thank you for much for giving me the prescriptions for doxycycline or any other types of antibiotics that I filled at the pharmacy before my river trip. Because we have them in our first aid kit.
Okay.
And this person says that they respond well to antibiotic X. Does this sound like a good plan? You're not putting them on the spot, but you're allowing them to give you a little medical suggestions from afar. And you're doing it all by InReach.
Okay, so just text them through the InReach and ask them.
Or your iPhone 16 or whatever it is.
Oh, do those work down there now?
They do now.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, the iPhone 14s forward are texting out.
Wow.
Okay, it's totally changing our communications there. Yeah. But I want a doctor friend, and I have a couple, okay, to help me with this. And I want to go with a bunch of prescriptive meds. I may take a Z-Pack. Do you know what I mean by that?
Yes, I do.
It's a prednisone, a powerful anti-inflammatory, 5-day or you know whatever the prescription is. I want to bring along an inhaler. Okay.
Yeah, bring some albuterol or.
Exactly. If somebody's having congestive, crappy cough stuff, and they're having a hard time breathing at night, I'm talking to my doc. Hey, you got somebody who's productive cough, they're not sleeping well at night, I have some albuterol and they have no problems using that, or they've never used it before.
Okay.
I want to outreach and say, what do you think?
Okay.
This is something we can do. Now, you as a nurse, you have this understanding, okay, and you just know that giving out prescriptive drugs to others is illegal.
Yes.
Right? If their name isn't on the bottle. Okay. But this is a communication with them. You want to get it written down on paper. I take the responsibility for taking this medication.
Okay.
Okay. If there's somebody knows, it's not going to sue you. You don't
No.
need that.
Yeah.
But I want to know who's got allergies to certain medications and that sort of stuff, right?
Yeah.
So those are some of the things, you know, that I'm thinking about that I want to focus on. Because okay. people are going to be thinking, I want to need headwear, I need you know, sunblock, you know, those types of things. I need to stay hydrated.
Yes.
Which means I need to be having electrolytes.
Yes.
Right? So I need to be drinking enough water, but I need to be eating enough goldfish.
Yeah, we get people up at the hospital every year that do nothing but drink water and forget to have snacks, and you start losing your mind.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's dangerous. It's very dangerous.
So Janine, you bring these skills to this river trip. You didn't realize how much, what kind of skill set you have.
Well, I think there's four nurses, an EMT, and a retired fire chief coming to
open up a clinic with that power.
Yeah.
So what you might do is talk to your team, talk to your healthcare team.
Yeah.
And say, okay, one of you EMT guys do the trauma box, a rocket box that's got nothing but splints and bandages and that stuff.
Okay.
And then there's another box that's the meds box.
Okay.
Because I would sell my soul.
Well, pharmacy.
For a cough drop. Right?
Yeah.
And that trauma dressing med kit that everybody brings probably doesn't have cough drops.
Yeah. In it. It's got the life-saving stuff, but not the stuff that make you feel better in the moment.
Exactly. So I want to walk through the pharmacy and I want to pull out... I can't poop, or I'm pooping too much. I can't sleep, or I'm sleeping too much. I got a toothache. I got an earache. I'm going to get that generic pharmacy stuff.
Okay.
And it goes in a rocket box and fills the whole thing up. Okay?
Okay.
Got a thermometer in there for $30-some at Target or Walmart. You can buy a camera that goes into your ear canal that can scoop out earwax. You can see the wax. You can visualize the eardrum. It's got a little scoop on the end of the thing, and you can scoop that stuff out of there.
Hmm.
That's a powerful tool to have. So there's a number of things like that for self-care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah, just simple stuff.
Okay.
What else?
I think that covers a lot of my questions. One of the medical things that we were doing based on... the recommendation of somebody, one of the more experienced people on the trip, is we're making everybody fill out, you know, emergency info, allergies, any medical history, putting it in an envelope. Nobody has to see it, but if we need to chopper you out for whatever reason, we all know where it is. So we can just hand it to the emergency evac team.
Yes.
And I thought that was such a fantastic idea.
Yeah, we do that. We do that
that's
too.
Standard.
And I try to find one person who understands about personal health care information, okay, which is privileged information.
HIPAA, yeah.
It's HIPAA. It's a confidential thing. So I want one person to do it. I want the team. I will send them or make sure they have an envelope. They have a thing to fill out. They fill it out. They fold it up. They put it in the envelope. They seal it, and they get it back. Their name's on it.
Mm-hmm.
And they get it back to the medical manager, whoever that identified person is on your trip.
Okay.
If there's an evacuation, the medical manager needs to do two things, or maybe three. The medical manager needs to make sure that the EMT team that comes in has that envelope, that the person flying out has a credit card and a driver's license, and their healthcare identification card if they have it.
Okay.
And if this person has head trauma, then I will write on them with a Sharpie. Rule out head trauma.
Okay.
River trip.
So it doesn't get lost in...
So this person doesn't get lost and appear in an ER, and the ER people look at the person and go, another homeless person here in the ER, drug seeking. They need to know this person's come off a river trip and has head trauma.
Yeah.
And I want to make sure. I'm going to give them a jump start on that by writing it on their cheek with a Sharpie.
All right. So kind of off topic, but we were talking about, you know, the iPhones and stuff that are working down there. How do you feel about that? Because I love being completely disconnected. The things I want to know about are if there's going to be a flash flood. Mm-hmm. I would like to know that. Mm-hmm. Yes. If there's any risk for that, or bad weather coming. Or, you know, I've talked to somebody who said that they were on a river trip and had no connection. They were completely unplugged when mm-hmm. September 11th happened. And they wanted to know, where are all the planes and what's going on? So, but unless it's at that level, I don't want to know. I want to be checked out. So I'm curious, how do you feel about these phones working down there? I think it's great for emergencies, but for the rest of the time.
Right. So we've had cell phones for a long time.
Yeah.
Satellite phones, excuse me. Right. Satellite phones for a long time.
Right.
Then we got the inReach. Then we got the, then we have the texting phones. Okay. That data is there, right? We've had that for decades. I really respect each individual person's quest on a river trip. Okay. Mm-hmm. If you want to be disconnected, then I want to make sure I don't tell you what I know through my connectivity to the rim.
Okay.
Okay. And that's something to go through your group with before the trip heads out, so that you don't have a town crier saying, hey, you know, my sister just said blah, blah, blah happened. And I don't want all that politics stuff. I don't want to know what's going on in the rest of the world.
No, same.
I don't want to disconnect. But if someone is willing to turn their machine on and look for those warnings coming in from the USGS about flash floods, if someone is willing to be the rim wren, the bird on the rim that is sending in weather information, sending in the flash flood information, sending in, hey, your sister's passed away.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? So I designate a rim wren, and I'm very careful because I want to know the weather. If for my itinerary, and I have a good friend who's an incredible weather person. The Grand Canyon is a weather desert. I want to know if there's a front coming in, because I'm going to change my layover schedule.
Yeah.
If there's a wind event coming in, I'm going to change my rowing schedule, what we're doing, because I don't want to get out and try to, you know, bust my butt downstream in a 20-mile upstream breeze.
Yeah.
Okay? I don't do that. So there's some data that I want. That's a personal preference. Okay?
Okay.
And I don't demand that everybody has that. Okay? I think disconnecting is super important. 30 days in the wilderness is a real rarity.
Yeah. And I love being disconnected, but I also want to be safe.
So,
and
so, that's my thoughts on that.
Okay.
If somebody wants to be dialed in, great. They're going to be your dial-in-er. They're going to be watching all this stuff, and they're going to approach you as the permit holder saying, hey, we've got a weather event coming in.
Okay.
And because you told me you didn't want 100% disconnect, you wanted to know if there was something like this happening.
Yeah.
And I'm the person who's feeling all this.
We're at risk for a flash, so we're not going to camp at this side canyon. Exactly. We're going to,
Which gets into delegation, because somebody on this group of 16 is probably going to want to be connected for whatever reason.
Yeah.
So they're the connected person.
All right. I'll figure out who that is, and they can be in charge of it.
Exactly. Well, I in that Rafting Grand Canyon post, a lot of people had a lot of good suggestions, and so looking at the time here, in the next 5 to 10 minutes, I want to just kind of go through some of the things that people had mentioned that I thought were pretty neat.
Okay.
And just right.
I thought it seems like such a great community on there. Everybody just trying to help each other out.
Exactly.
It seems really fantastic.
So one person said, if the boats don't have names, mm-hmm. mark the boats with electrical tape that's different color.
Oh, I actually wrote that down to cover that because I think that's so cool.
Yeah.
And I was trying to figure out which tape I want my boat.
And I know that the rental companies hate me because I'll take a Sharpie mm-hmm. and I will ask the rower of the rental fleet, hey, this is your boat. You're rowing this boat, right? Yeah, I'm rowing this boat. Give me a name for your boat. I don't want a name for my boat. Great. Your boat is the no name. No.
It's going to be purple.
Name. Okay. What's your boat? I'll call it, whatever. And I'm, because somebody who doesn't have a lot of skill is going to be in the kitchen, and somebody with skill is going to say, on Fred's boat, there's some eggs, and they're in the back hatch. So go get them. Bring up a dozen eggs.
Okay.
Well, which one's Fred's boat?
Yeah.
It says Fred on the front, big letters, okay? Saves a ton of time hunting. And that goes into a boat map at Lee's Ferry. You got 7 boats. You got 7 pictures of a boat and what's in the back hatch, what's in the cooler, what's in the footwell, what's in the front hatch. So you're going to need someone who's willing to make these maps of these boats.
Okay.
And that those maps go in the kitchen box so that people know what's where. Where's another propane bottle? Because this one just is empty now, right?
So we're not digging everything out every time.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a great idea.
Marking a boat so I can identify one boat from the other and knowing what's in that boat is important so you don't spend a ton of time looking through boats for stuff.
Okay.
I also wanted, when we kind of touched upon this, that the permit holder thinks, well, I don't have a role because I don't have the skill to row a boat down the canyon. No, that's not your position. Your position is to be the entire trip's voice of reason.
Okay.
And don't just go by the one Park Service identified qualified boat operator. Especially on your trip, you got five people that all have skills. Yeah. Maybe they all work together. Maybe they haven't. Maybe they've rowed together. Maybe they haven't. If the dictator qualified boat operator isn't talking to people about what's going to happen tomorrow or says this is what we're going to do and then doesn't do it themselves and forces everybody else to miss that hike, oof, right? You have to stop. You have to just stop the train and get everybody together and say, look, we cannot do this again. And they'll say, well, you don't have the experience. I'm saying, I'm the permit holder.
I don't care.
I'm trumping you all. And I need civility, I need understanding and planning, and I need people to follow where our intentions are.
Yeah.
That's
communicate and stick to the plan.
Communicate and stick to the plan as best as you can. And everybody agrees to that.
Okay.
As best as you can. So that's that.
That's a great. That's great.
And so, you know, one of the things I wrote down is don't be afraid to be assertive. Identify the people who can train others and delegate.
I'm not a very good delegator. I need to work on that.
Okay, well, this is your opportunity. Again, you know, you're writing down a whole bunch of notes. It's, mm-hmm. Who can do this? Who can do that? Who can do this? Right? Your job is to be the conductor. You don't have to play every instrument.
Okay. Micromanage every little thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. I like to scout early, and I like to scout often.
Okay.
You say, well, why should we do this? The five people, they've all rode before. They can run the first Rapid Badger. They can do that in their sleep. The two boats with people that are sharing rowing, they've never done this before.
Yeah, I don't know how to row Badger.
The coolest thing you can do with a trip like you have, you all pull in at the scout together. One experienced person takes the newbies up to look. And once they're up at the scout site, they holler back. And four boats or three boats with experience make the run.
So watch them do it.
And you watch them do it. And the person with experience says, see that little hump there? You want to go just left of that hump. Oh, they're too far to the left. Oh, they're too far to the right. That's not going to do. Watch them. They're clunk and bump down there. Yeah, it's not good. That's a nice, if you can. Now, you can't do that with all rapids because you want to be safe and you want to get all the boats together. I scout early, I scout often. I want the new rowers to be confident and understand what they're going to try to do.
Okay.
If they flip early on in the trip, you have to rebuild their confidence. And I'd much rather take the time to scout a rapid. I don't want to scout forever. I'm going to walk up there. We're going to look around. Do you see this? Do you see that? What do you see? What would you do? Okay, here come the rest of the group. There they go. Boom, boom, boom. See what they did. Blah, blah, blah. Let's get out of here. Let's go.
Okay.
That way, their chances of success are better. And if they flip, not only do you have to get the boat right side up again, but you have to rebuild their confidence.
Build them back up.
That takes a lot of work.
Okay.
So I'd much rather take a half hour or whatever to make this scout. Mm-hmm. Even in a rapid like Badger, you know, the people have done it. I'm going to scout that rapid. Great. I don't want you to walk up there. We're going to go up there. We're going to watch you run.
Okay. I like that.
I break it apart that way.
Okay.
Build up the confidence of the new people so they get comfortable. So when the big stuff comes, well, they've already done a bunch of stuff. Their skill has gone up. They feel like I could possibly do this because I did that and that and that.
I handled things and I kept my boat straight. Okay.
Exactly. So doing that. Whistles. ideally, I'd like every life jacket to have a whistle.
Okay.
And that may be just on a little string, or it may be in a pocket. But a whistle is a way for somebody who knows nothing about boating, but who has been told people in the water is not a good idea. They're taking a bath.
There's a swimmer. Right?
There's a swimmer, and they saw it, and they can get out their whistle and go, because that means there's somebody in the water.
Okay.
That means something's wrong, right? And they saw it. Right now, they're the most valuable person on the entire trip.
Because they saw him going in, and they know where they are.
Because they saw him going in, and they can point, and they blow a little whistle. And everybody's like, what the heck is that? Oh, look, Fred's in the water. Okay. So whistles. Delegate. Talked about that. Make friends with the other groups around you. We talked about that. Just before launching, review the day's plan. Now, we talked about the dinner review.
But we can cover it again first thing in the morning. Like, everybody remember, very brief, we're going to stop today at Badger and Scout. We're going to...
Whatever we're going to do. This. That's the plan. Any questions, any concerns?
Okay.
Okay. And everybody's there with their life jackets zipped up and the bow lines, and you're just about ready to push off.
Okay. So that's just, the last minute.
Just another way. Yeah.
Review.
Channel lock pliers and welder's gloves for Dutch oven cooking. Now, you may not have any Dutch ovens.
I haven't built the menu yet, but we're mostly going to be doing easier stuff because we want to be spending the time exploring, playing.
Very good. If you do mess with charcoal, make sure you got tools to do that so you don't have to deal with burns.
Yeah.
There's some trips do it differently. Some people want to stop at noon. I'm real fussy about this. I want to stop at noon because we're kind of creatures of habit. We've kind of think, okay, we're going to have to eat lunch. If you don't stop at noon for lunch and you keep going and you run into a rapid and something happens, now you've got a bunch of people trying to sort out something that's happening rapid, and some people are really crashing because they haven't had anything to eat.
Okay, yeah.
So how do we deal with this? We can stop at noon, and I'm using my watch. I'm looking at my watch and saying, okay, there's a nice little beach right there, and it's quarter till. We're pulling into that little beach.
Okay.
Did we make our lunch at breakfast? And everybody has a Tupperware with their sandwiches and their apples and their Pringles in it, and their cookies, right?
Yeah.
Then we all just pop out and eat and talk a little bit and make sure everybody's doing okay. Oh, I didn't realize that Tom's, he got really wet a couple rats back. He's actually hypothermic.
Okay.
We didn't know that until we stopped and started talking to people, and he's still sitting on the boat. He's not responsive. Who knew?
Oof.
Right? Didn't know that. Okay. That's what I'm really doing at noon.
Okay.
Just touching base, getting everybody back together. It's our next page for the afternoon. What do we got there?
Okay. So snacks, sunblock, check-in.
The whole deal. And if there's a rapid coming up, and I think we can clear that rapid before noon, then we'll do that. But if we can't, then I might stop short and have lunch at 11:30 and then go run that rapid.
Okay.
Because I want people to be fueled up. Now, some people can go all day without eating any lunch, and some people will be crashing because they don't have enough food.
I'm a snack every hour kind of girl,
yeah.
So
you just say, now, it's up to you to figure out whether you want to take the time to build lunch from scratch at noon. Got to get the cooler. Then I don't like doing that because it's hot.
Chopping stuff up.
Whatever. Cheese, slicing that up. Tomato, slicing that up. And lettuce and whatever you're doing in River Lunch, or you're making some sort of pasta junk or whatever. That all has to happen beforehand. So the whole concept of you want to save time, which most people do when they're on the water, is go ahead and build your lunches at breakfast.
Okay. And then just have little Tupperwares ready to go so we can get our sandwiches.
Everybody brings their own Tupperware.
Okay.
Yeah, let's go
marked with a tape so that we know what color it is.
Exactly. we talked about work teams. And the other thing about work teams is we will totally change our work team at least once on the river trip.
Okay. How come?
Good question. How come? When we announce, hey, it's halfway through the river trip, we're changing our teams, there will be howls. No, don't. From the teams that are working really well.
Okay.
And the teams that aren't.
You'd be so happy.
Say a word. They won't say a word, but they'll be so glad that they don't have to hang out with this person anymore. It just rubs them the wrong way.
Okay. Is Phantom, when we do the rider swap, a good time to do that?
Yeah, absolutely. You can do it there.
Or it doesn't matter.
We will, on a 30-day trip in the winter, we'll do it three times. We'll split the river into thirds, however you want to do it. You got new people coming in, old people going out. That's a bump in the road.
Okay.
And you'll miss the people that are leaving because they've just become your best friends. And, yeah. And a couple of them you don't want to see again. So that's okay. And the new people come in and they don't know how the bathroom works. They don't know how the kitchen works. They don't know what boat, right? So they're going to take some days to get embedded in the trip. Upper half people have shared a communal experience all the way to Phantom Ranch, and then they have to say goodbye to people. Yeah. So the strength of the team decreases. Now there's new people coming in. They need to be trained up.
So they all need to be split up among different groups. And
just like new people at Lee's Ferry.
Okay.
They need to be in different groups. Yeah. I wouldn't put them all together. No, definitely don't do
no.
that. Yeah. So that's why you do that, is simply for group dynamics.
Okay.
And you have to be kind of sensitive. You're the permit holder. You're going to be the one assigning these people in these different groups. If somebody just happens to let you know that they don't like somebody else,
yeah,
don't keep them on that group if they're grouping together.
Okay.
Right? And you can move people out right away saying, hey, you know, I'm switching you. But I work ahead with the both groups saying, hey, I want to pull out this person. I'll put them over there. We're going to take that person okay. over there.
And it's not your fault. Yeah. It's the drama queen's fault.
Exactly. It's the drama queen's fault. Yeah. It's just not working out.
Okay.
That's flexible. But you build understanding to the people who don't know, and you shift it all out again. The other thing that does breaking up the teams is people get a chance to hang out with each other a little more.
Mm-hmm.
I want people on the boats to change boats every day. So you get to know the boat rowers. Who has the most skills and what stories do they have? And that's kind of neat. Pick that up. And who else are you going to ride with today as a passenger? Right, you got 7 boats. You got 16 people. That's 2 people on a boat for the most part.
Yeah.
And you got a couple floaters.
Yeah.
Right? A couple extra. So for the most part, it's you and the boat rower. Or you are the boat rower and it's a passenger.
Yeah. Right? Or you're swapping out or whatever.
You're swapping out or whatever. Yeah.
New friends to make. And
exactly. So the next person comes in the next day. They got different stories. You got different stories. You get to know each other that way.
Yeah.
So that's just...
Have you ever had... this is kind of a unique challenge that... for our group, two of the people going, including the permit holder, are deaf.
Okay.
And most of the people going can't sign.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
we're gonna make a little video ahead of time, my brother and I, and of signs that would just like, you know, things like food, water, swimmer, danger, pain, stuff like that to try to help include them and also make it safer for everybody. But have you ever had a trip where you've had people that don't speak the same language or maybe deaf passengers or anything like that? And what'd you do about it?
What? that's a joke. Old people like me, we don't hear real well, right? We can understand language, but we may not. People may think they're communicating with me,
mm-hmm.
but there's background noise, whatnot. I didn't hear them.
Yeah.
I'm as good as deaf, right?
Except that you can also speak.
Well, there is that. So sign language is super important.
Yeah.
And we will typically go through the signals we're going to use at the beach at Lee's Ferry before mm-hmm. we push off. Now, the ranger does the ranger talk. Okay, fine. Blah, 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 blah. Then we do our own talk. And that includes sign language.
Okay.
Oftentimes, people that can hear, can articulate, there's so much noise from the rapids if there's an incident going on. We need to be able to communicate without speaking.
Yeah. And immediately.
I'm going to put my hand on my head, and I'm going to tap my hand on my head. That's a question. Are you okay? And the answer I want back is a hand on the head, tapping my head. I am okay. It's a question and answer. If I get cross arms,
yeah,
then everything stops. Something is not right.
Something
and I'm
true.
Not going anywhere doing anything until this turns into that. Until this cross-armed turns into hand on the head.
Okay.
And so oftentimes in the morning when we're about ready to load out, I'll kind of look until I get a boat rower's eye, and they'll like give me, or they're like, no, I'm not ready yet.
Okay.
So that can be simple. A simple, hey, are you ready? Is your boat rigged? It's not at an active flip situation. Hey, are you okay? You know, no, it's just like, hey, is everything going all right? You doing okay?
Not quite ready.
Not quite ready. Eddie out. I'm going to point with one hand, and the other hand is going to be doing a big circle in the air.
Okay.
That's it. That's another. Another signal is point positive.
Okay.
I'm going to point the way I want other boats to go. I'm not going to point at the problem. I'm going to point at the solution.
So not the giant hole, not the rock. We're pointing at the right way to go.
Where to go. Okay. And again, these are some simple things. There's a lot of different languages, and these are just a couple of my favorites, but you're going to want to talk to your team. Mm-hmm. Is you've got five people with a lot of experience on your trip. You're going to want to have them figure out what the signals are. You're going to want to get those to the rest of the team.
Okay.
And so the people who can't hear on your trip, they need to have these put into their sign language. They probably ought to have it already, right? And then I would go out into your team so that there's some simple communication stuff that your hearing people can do to help talk with the people who can't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we want everyone to be included. And
absolutely.
We want everyone to be safe.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
For sure.
Yeah, yeah. Is there anyone on the trip who signs?
Oh, yeah.
Besides the two?
Well, my other brother and I, we both sign. And there are a few people, my husband's been learning. And there are a few other people who are trying to pick up some sign language and stuff before the trip so
lovely.
That they can include it.
So,
and then we're also bringing, pads to write on, or there's apps that transcribe what you say. So we're making sure that we're bringing a phone that can do that with a power source so that they can, so someone can speak into their phone and then it'll transcribe so that they understand what's going on.
That's awesome.
So we're working on trying to come up with as many ideas as possible ahead of time just to make it as seamless. And we don't want to get down there and realize, oh, we don't have a power source to charge the phone that does this.
Exactly.
So trying
exactly.
to think ahead.
Yeah, that's awesome. With that in mind, your best person that can hear, that knows sign language the best, right?
Yes.
When you have your team meeting at night over dinner,
yes,
they can sign what the conversation is.
Yeah.
And then you ask the people who can't hear, did you understand that? Do you have any questions?
Okay.
And so make sure that they understand what's going on, because I would assume, okay, that they're going to want to know what's going on.
Yeah.
They want to be participants in what's happening.
Yeah, they don't want to just be along for the ride. Even if they are just kind of coming along for the ride, they still want to know.
Exactly. So I just keep touching base with them in sign, saying, do you have any questions? You're doing all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get them in the team. Ah, that sounds
lovely. And they're phenomenal. They're extremely adventurous. They, they taught me how to scuba dive. So
lovely.
They're fantastic people.
Yeah.
Obviously. But
they're going to have
yeah, we're going to have such a great
yeah,
time.
They're exactly.
So that, ready for this. So.
That sounds awesome. One of the other little things that I try to avoid, especially in the summer, September and August, some people will try to cool their drinks in the coolers.
Oh.
And I'm like, no, we got drag bags for
that. That's
what the river's for. It's going to be, the river's running right now about 54 degrees, and by September it's probably going to be in the 60s, but that's going to be way cooler than 110 or 100. That's going to be the daytime temps.
Oh, the river, it warms up in the winter? Oh, I thought it was always kind of the same temperature for some reason.
No, well, when the reservoir is full.
Ah.
But it's not.
It has not been full for a minute.
and the water temperature this September is going to be the warmest it's going to be coming out of the reservoir.
Oh, wow.
Coming out of the dam. It's going to be lovely for swimming. Really nice.
Wow, I'm excited.
Yeah, absolutely. It is going to be monsoon season, so the water may be, that chocolate soup. And you're going to be nice and ash and gray.
Yeah.
But at least you're going to be in the water. It's going to be fun.
But we'll be warmer.
yeah. Okay. One other little detail that I find is really important is a pee bucket.
Okay.
It's a 5-gallon bucket with a little sit-down seat on it. And if you're using toilet paper after you pee, that goes in the shitter. It doesn't go in the pee bucket.
Okay.
Okay. Because that urine is going to go into the river.
Okay.
And your rental company most likely will not provide that.
Oh, okay.
So a 5-gallon bucket with a seat on it, it just makes life go so handy, especially for older people like me. You probably don't have any old people on your trip. But if you did.
We do.
It gets hard to separate function.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can pee over here and I can poop over there if they're close. Okay, I used to have no problem with that. Now I'm like, okay, I gotta, is that nearby, right?
Okay.
So that's helpful, not just for this gender, but it's helpful for everybody. Okay, I got a simple bucket with it and I pee in it. We talked about construction gloves. We talked about your rim round up on the rim with iPhone. We talked about visiting with a family practitioner for medication, for prescriptive medication assistance before you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. Anything else?
Nothing I can think of. This has been so helpful. I'm really excited.
I'm excited for you too. This sounds really lovely. And Janine, I want to thank you so very much for taking the time to visit and be part of this podcast.
Yeah, this has been really awesome. And I hope that other people get to listen to it and get great info out of it too. Yeah,
that's good. Well,
and I'll see you guys all on the river.
and maybe we'll get together afterwards and we can do a debrief.
Oh, that would be great.
That would be fun. What worked? What didn't work?
Yeah.
What tricks did you learn?
Yeah. What else came up? Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Any problems? I love that.
All right. Well, with that, thank you so very much.
Thank you so much.